because of being on the way to perfection, have a natural tendency to look at ourselves and be disappointed of where you ought to be, but I'm not. So I've been praying for each one of you. My desire in each one of your lives is that you would grow in God to the perfect will of God in your life, where He wants you to be. And I sense that perhaps it would do all of us good by looking into the Bible and studying the lives of the men of God and God in you. Because all of them, every single one of them, God used them in spite of their weaknesses. The only one who was perfect was Jesus Christ. And I could sense in some of your lives that you have a great desire for God to use you, but you're disappointed with your own weaknesses, your shortcomings, your failures. And you wonder, can God really use me as I am? Who am I that God should use me? Wait until you study the lives of each one of these men of God. Then you understand that God does not use perfect vessels, He uses yielded vessels. And God does not look for perfection of human character, perfection of talent, but God looks for sincerity of heart. God does not look at you outwardly, God looks at you inwardly. And God uses you because of what He planned for your life, not because of who you think you can earn God's blessing or God's usage of your life. So we will look in a series at the different men of God in the Word of God and draw aspects from your life, and you would have the excuse if I focus also on their weaknesses. They have said that this Word, the Word of God, the Bible, has to be written supernaturally, because when another man write another man's biography, or even a person write their own autobiography, they will never tell you their failures. They will never tell you their weaknesses. They will never tell you times when they went off track. But the Holy Spirit has preserved for each one of us, by His grace, supernaturally a record of the lives of men whom God used, inclusive of their failures. Not that we want to follow their failures, but you know, sometimes it helps us to know that Abraham told lies or so. Or it helps us to know that King David failed, but God still used him and turned back to God. Helps us to know that Jonah was not too willing a prophet, especially when God sent him to his enemy. It helps us because all of us fight with our own weaknesses, our own shortcomings. And as the saying goes, the spirit is willing, but the flesh, some of you say the flesh is weak. I doubt it. I say the flesh is not weak, it's rough. You got to discipline your body. The flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. So we will look in a series of the lives of the different men of God and understand why God used them, how God used them, where they fail, and understand through their failures so that they can fail and learn from their failures. I mean, we do not want to fail and repeat the same mistakes, but we want to observe from the Word of God the lives of the men of God. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37, the life of Joseph. Genesis 37, Joseph was born into a good family, a rich family, well-to-do family. In fact, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Correction, maybe he was born with a gold spoon in his mouth. Everything was easy for him from the time he was born until something happened. Chapter 37 of Genesis, have you found it? If you found it, say Amen. And then say Amen.
Praise God. Sometimes amen, sometimes amen. Sometimes oh dear.
37.
Now Jacob dwell in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the genealogy of Jacob. Of Jacob, that's right. Joseph being 17 years old, remember the word 17, say 17. He was 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Jacob was also called Israel, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. This is a scene that we enter in the life of Joseph, that he was born he was put in his mouth, he was born into luxury, into goodness, everything seemed easy, the roses were red, the streams were peaceful, everything looks nice. And Joseph, maybe he was a spoiled boy. You would, if you live all your life being pampered, favorite son, favorite boy. I mean, suddenly when Joseph comes, all the others are ignored. You must remember that Joseph was a boy whom Jacob was longing for. All the others were not what he actually wanted. Jacob, to give you the background and make a long story short, Jacob originally fell in love with Rachel. And he wanted to marry Rachel, and he worked 7 years for her. Praise God for his persistence. Can a man say amen? He worked 7 years for his wife. Some of you want to get your wife free. He worked 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, when it is time, and he went to Laban, and he said he has worked for his wife, and now he is ready. When he got his wife, his wedding day came. There was celebration, etc. Everything was celebration, 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 and. So they went home, and in those days they wear a thick veil, must have been a thick veil, not our modern type see-through veil. And so then they went off on their honeymoon, and the next morning, the first morning of the honeymoon, he woke up and said, Rachel, no answer. And he turned around and said, Leah is here. And he found that he has married the wrong one. We laugh at him that on the first day of their marriage, he found out that he married the wrong one. Some people, they live 15 years and think that they married the wrong one. You better ask God to forgive you. So here he was. He didn't know what to do. He went back, and Laban talked about the customs, etc. And he said, he worked another 7 years. But after he fulfilled the week, he also married Rachel. Now, Rachel was the one he wanted, not Leah. Leah was an accident. Excuse me for using this kind of word. He had no intention for Leah at all. His goal was Rachel. And so here in the end, he has Rachel, and he worked altogether 14 years and 2 years for the cattle. And after all these things, they brought all their possessions, and the problem was there. Rachel was barren. Now Rachel was the one he loved, but Rachel was barren. Barren. Probably through the years she may have given up hope. But one day God heard the cries of Rachel and a son was born, named Joseph. Now how would he behave? Here was the woman whom he loved, he wants to marry, and here was a child. Straight away he would play and he would be playing and all the other boys would be looking around. Ignored, cast aside. And for 17 years of Joseph's life, that was going on. Some people wondered, why must Joseph go through what he goes through? He reaped his father's mistakes. Do you hear me? Nothing happens without a cause and effect. No evil just happens. You sow for evil and you reap evil. You sow wrong things, you reap wrong things. You sow the right things, you reap the right things. Nothing happens by accident. Now here, the father made a mistake. If you have more than one child, if you have three children, if you have a football team, how many is the football team? 12? Alright, if you have a football team, whatever it is, it is wrong for you to love one above the other. Every one of them is unique. It's wrong for you to favor one above the other. You are promoting strife in your family. You are sowing strife in your family. You will reap what you sow one day. If you're in that situation, in that boat, change situation quickly. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Here is Joseph, he was born into this kind of situation. His father was the one who made mistakes. He was a baby, how would he know? I mean, you give all the favor and all the attention, all the love, he just receive it. Hallelujah. He just take it all in. For 17 years, the brothers went through that, the father's mistake. Now, some people ask, must we suffer for what another person do? For our parents' mistake. Not in terms of bondages that you cannot break free from. In other words, there are certain evil that from our parents they make mistakes and we suffer the consequences. Example, if a family does not know Jesus as Lord, there's no peace, there's no love in the family. The family constantly quarrel, and all the children do when they grow up, if they see quarreling parents, you can be sure the child is going to grow up with something of a disturbed personality. And there's been research that all criminals have broken homes, come from broken homes. Psychology tells us that all criminals have come from home that have been broken or where love has not been given. So they produce a certain kind of character. We cannot do much about what our parents make mistakes, but you can do what you can in your situation. We got help to come out of this. Because your forefathers choose to come here to this country. Some of you are born into this country. Your forefathers made a choice, here you are landed in this country. Some of you are probably from the North Pole or somewhere. But your forefathers made a choice and here you are in this place, in this country. You're born into that situation. I do not believe that we have to suffer the evil and the curse of our forefathers. Because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I say Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we don't have to suffer the evil and the curses, but you have to confront them. We have to confront those situations and overcome them. You may have more to confront than others, but you have to confront them. Here was Jacob. He made a mistake, favoring Joseph above all his other sons, showing him attention to the neglect of others. He was sowing strife into his family that one day Jacob will reap. And of all these situations from chapter 37 right on to chapter 41, the person who suffered also, not only was Joseph, Jacob also suffered. Remember what he said when Jacob found that Joseph was gone? Jacob said that I will go to the grave with my gray hands in grief and sorrow. He's saying, I'm never going to smile anymore. I'm never going to laugh anymore. He's going to die with watermelon face. He made a choice. He suffered. And then later on, when Simeon was held back in Egypt, he must have beaten his chest and he said, oh, Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone too. Then his head will be cut. He also suffered. He reaped what he sowed. Nothing happens by chance. We reap what we sow. So parents, if you want good children, you have to sow now. Sow into their lives. Sow the word of God. Pray with them. Do you pray with your children? If you don't pray with your children, you're not sowing anything. Children left to themselves will turn away. You have to sow to reap. Don't think that children will grow automatically good, nice, obedient, tongue-talking, demon-chasing, hand-laying, and very good. You have to sow into their life. He read what he saw. Joseph came into the situation he had, that family situation to face. Secondly, Joseph also must have been self-exalted. He made a mistake in his life. Here in chapter 37, if you read your Bible very carefully, it says here, I always wondered why the brothers must do all those things to him, but it's not just the brothers. Things have been sown for 17 years. And then in verse 2, it says that Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the land was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. That one record does not tell us just of that situation, but it tells us that he constantly make a bad report of them. Now here is a situation that was already bad, right? It's a family situation that is already full of strife and bad, with Joseph being loved above all the others, and Joseph did not have any make any amends in the situation. He did not seem to share with the others, but he always come back to his father and said, you know, Judah did this, and Zebulun did that, Issachar did that, and all kinds of things. Always tell all the bad things about his brothers. He that soweth strife among brethren is a curse. He was sowing strife among his own brothers. He came to his father constantly. He was the apple of his father's eye. Every time Joseph said, Daddy, yeah, Jacob will come. If Issachar or Judah said, Daddy, yeah. I mean, he was his father's pet. So he would come, Daddy, yeah. Do you know Issachar did that? Oh, is that right? And it said, not tell all the bad and evil things. He keeps telling them the bad and evil things. You reap what you sow. Not only were his brothers to blame for the situation, Joseph has to share some blame too. Don't just read the story and say, oh, his brothers, all his brothers, 10 brothers were very bad brothers. They were bad, they had problems in their life too. They also were responsible for what happened after that when he was sold to Egypt. But Joseph had a part, Jacob had a part. They had a part in war, in what happened. And here was this situation that was there, telling them all the bad reports. Second mistake that was done. The first mistake by Jacob, second mistake by Joseph. I didn't realize Joseph is not a perfect man. Joseph is not a perfect man in the Bible. He did not come to a perfect situation. Everything seems imperfect. And of all things, suddenly, he has a dream. And just before this dream, his father did another thing. His father bought an expensive coat of many colors. Put it on Joseph just to show his favor for Joseph. He didn't even give the others a chance. If Joseph had many colors, they probably have one color. Judah, here's a black cloth for you. Here's another black one for you. Issachar, here's another black one for you. Zebulun, here's another black one for you. But Joseph, here you are. All the other brothers must have, their mouths must have dropped. They say, whoa, the most beautiful garment. But it was for Joseph. That doesn't make any situation better, makes it worse. And then suddenly, in this situation comes the Holy Spirit. How many know that the Holy Spirit can come in the midst of chaos? In times you least expect Him, in situations where you feel they are not perfect, here comes the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God came to Joseph in a dream. It was a word of wisdom about the future given through the operation of dreams. The Holy Spirit wants to change the situation. So Joseph had a dream. Now when you read in the book of Genesis, you might thought Joseph was a very smart guy. He was to a certain extent, but not quite. When he had this dream, which was a lovely dream, a beautiful dream, and in the dream, he saw the sheep of all his brothers, and all his brothers' sheep go down this way to Joseph. All of them, one round circle, all of them go this way, and Joseph just grinning, ha ha ha. I mean, in the natural, he was already favored above them, they were already below him in favor. Now with this dream from the Holy Spirit, and of all people, he didn't know very smart, he told his brother. He went to his brother to say, hey, I got a dream, I got a dream, I got a dream. And all the brothers were eating this good news. Good news. Good news. Hey, I have a dream, I have a dream. So all the brothers said, what dream? Oh, I dreamt that you bowed to me. One kind of a dream. Who wouldn't get mad? The relationship was not built and the gift wants to operate. And I found that the gifts of God cannot operate towards people when relationships are not amended. For example, if I go and preach in a place where people's relationships are not proper with me in that sense, then the gifts of God cannot operate. Cannot. It does not benefit at all. And in your life, if you want to be a benefit to the body of Christ, you have to obey Jesus' commandment. You have to love everyone with His love. No matter what happens, no matter what they do, you still have to keep pouring out the love of God. Otherwise, the gifts of God in your life may operate, but they're ineffective. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that all the gifts will operate, faith, prophecy, and tongues, but they are all nothing without love. In other words, they don't profit anything. To produce profit, a relationship must be established first. Joseph has not established a relationship with his brothers. In fact, he has been a source to worsen the relationship by his evil report. And here you want to come into a situation and say, prophet of God, be a dreamer of dreams. Do you think he will be accepted? Of course not. Of course not. he read what he saw. That dream got them even more mad. I mean, if they go, now they go, before long they turn again. It's all being the reaping of what he saw. Sometime later he had another dream. He dreamed the stars, the sun and the moon all bowing to him. Of course, the sun represents the father, the moon represents his mother, the stars represent his brothers. And he went everywhere again, very happy, gleefully, with his coat of many colors waving in the air, and said, I have another dream, I have another dream. They say, oh yeah, this dreamer of dream coming again. They gave him the name, dreamer of dream. Dreamer. And he comes to them with his coat of many colors flapping and says, I got another dream. And what dream this time? Oh, I dreamt you all bow again. You bow again to me. Who wants to hear that when you hate Joseph? I mean, they hated Joseph. To that extent, they really hated him by now. Into the situation, the Holy Spirit put him. How many realize that no matter what your situation is, I don't care how chaos it is, how confused, how disturbed, one of the things the Holy Spirit began to do is to drop dreams and visions. The dreams and visions are the symbol of the seed of the Holy Spirit being sown into us, the ground. The Holy Spirit was sowing seeds into Joseph's life. Two dreams. He was not that smart. Joseph had no skill in relationship with people. He didn't know how to relate to his brothers. Joseph had no skill in handling spiritual gifts. When he received a spiritual gift, a dream, he did not know how to keep it. Not everything God tells you is to be said. Not everything God tells us is to be shared. There are some things that have its timing to be shared. There are some things that have to be kept until a proper time to be shared. But Joseph goes around, blah, 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 blah. Have you ever seen any of these kinds? He was a blabbermouth. Now you must excuse me if I keep pointing at all his weaknesses, so that you can identify with him in your weaknesses. He had a blabbermouth. He had weaknesses in his life. He said the wrong thing. He said evil reports. He didn't know how to relate with his brothers. And he was probably, if you must excuse me of using this word, half up. How do we know he's half up? By the fact that he brings evil report of his brother. By the fact of him rushing to them and telling them his dreams, especially the dreams about them bowing down to him. He's not quite that innocent when you read it. He's not sweet 17. Although he was 17. He was 17, but he's not quite the sweet 17. Into this situation comes the Holy Spirit and He gives a seed, a vision. The Holy Spirit has given to every single one of you seeds. Seeds about what your life will be. Seeds about what to do in the future. All you have are seeds. In dreams, in visions, in prophecies. He has given seeds into your life. Now that seed needs time to grow. Chapter 37 tells us that the brothers took Joseph. They wanted to kill him actually. They put him into the pit, threw him into it, and then one of them in their committee meeting said, why kill him when we can sell him? At least we have finances. So there was some trader passing by and they took him. Reuben wanted to stop that, but by the time he came back, he found that Joseph was gone. So when
They came, the traders came, they took Joseph, sold him for 20 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. It's a fact in Joseph and Jesus' life. He said, why 20 pieces and then 30 pieces? In those days, there was inflation also. Price of a slave gone up. So here he was sold. What has become of his dream? Remember his dream. His dreams were from God. They look crazy, but they were from God. He dreamt of seed bowing to his seed. He dreamt of the sun, moon, stars bowing to him. His dreams were from God. Look what became of his dream. First he was thrown into the pit. Next, he sold as a slave. And as a slave, you don't own anything. You don't even own your body. Your body belongs to your master to do as the master pleases. What has become of the dream? The brothers came to Joseph and tried to kill him, to destroy him, to remove the vision, the dream of God for his life. But let me tell you, no man can destroy what God puts into you. No devil, no man can destroy the dreams or visions that are of God. If God says it, all you have to do is hold on to it. And here he was thrown into the pit, sold as a slave. The dream and the vision was still in him. In spite of all his mistakes, I'm sure he learned from his mistakes. I want to show you how he corrects his own weaknesses through time. The dreams and the visions were inside. Later on, you find he remembered those dreams. He must be holding on to those dreams. I wonder what it felt like when Joseph was being taken as a slave. Stripped of all and everything. All he had was his loincloth. Tied up as a slave. Taken to Egypt. All along that dusty road that he traveled. What has become of the dream? What has become of the seed of God? Everything looks hopeless. Hopeless. How could God do it? God has a million ways. Don't limit God's way. Say, I will not limit God. If your situation looks hopeless, it is not hopeless to God. It was hopeless only because you see it through your eyes. Soul as a slave. As he is going there, he actually cried. He cried. He may not have cried much from in his family life, 17 years living in pleasure and luxury and being loved and favored. I can prove to you that he cried because when his brothers were in Egypt and they were talking among themselves, and the brothers were afraid of what has happened. They didn't know it was Joseph, the ruler. They said, remember what we have done. Let's look at the Bible in Genesis. Genesis chapter 42, verse 21. We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we will not hear. Here is a statement that speaks about when Joseph was being sold. He cried, he begged his brothers. He was in great distress of soul. But his brothers still sold him. The dream and the vision looks gone. When Joseph went to Egypt, in spite of all the mistakes. Now, God was not responsible for the evil. Men reap what they sow. How could we blame God when Jacob sowed strife? How could we blame God when Joseph sowed evil report? Don't blame God for evil when it's men who do the evil. We reap what we sow. Sometimes people say, if there's a God in this earth, why is all the evil happening? It is not God's responsibility who is making all these things. It's because men are doing all these things. If men would turn to God, that would have been different. All the evil that happens, men reap what they sow. Here he has gone to Egypt, and there in the Pasar Malam there, they not only bring all the nice Egyptian toys and all kinds of Egyptian artifacts, everything. At the Pasar Malam, they also bring slaves. So all the slaves will be lined up there. Joseph will be standing there. And then the people will pass by looking, seeing which slave they want to buy. It's a Pasar Malam for slaves. One fine day in the Pasar Malam comes Mr. Potiphar. Mr. Potiphar came along. He was looking for a slave. He looked at all the slaves. Said, I'll take that one. So he took Joseph. Joseph was taken as a slave to Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a rich man, one of the key soldiers of Pharaoh. And Joseph in Potiphar's house, he starts from scratch. What has become of the dream? The dream looks like being fulfilled. And here he comes up again. The Bible tells us in Potiphar's house what happened in chapter 30. Let's look at the Bible. Chapter 39. Verse 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Why was the Lord with Joseph? Because the Lord was with the vision and his dream. Why was the Lord with the vision and the dream? Because the Lord is with every word he speaks. Do you know that if God says something to you, God will back up his words that he said to you? If God say unto you and say, go to such a place, he will be with you because he said it. If you obey what God said, no matter how crazy it looks, God will be with you. God is with Joseph because Joseph had his seed of his vision and dream that the Holy Spirit put. And that caused Joseph to prosper. From a slave, he was promoted to a chief slave. From a chief slave, he was promoted to the right-hand man in the household. So that he was over all the household of Potiphar. Looks like the dream can be fulfilled. Looks like the seed can be fulfilled. Everything looks nice and rosy. Roses are red, violets are blue. But here comes Potiphar's wife. She keeps an eye on Joseph. And she constantly beseeches Joseph to commit sin with her. Now look at Joseph's character. Though he may have weaknesses in his life, though he may fail in bringing evil reports, he may not learn in his report, in his mouth, control of his mouth. Though he may not learn to do perfect things in perfect ways, yet deep in his heart, he really wants to do the right thing. Some of you, in the midst of your failures, if you check what is deep inside, you really want to do what is right. That is why you're sitting here this morning. And Potiphar's wife came, and one day she just grabbed Joseph, and Joseph ran. Sometimes we have to learn how to run. Hello there, are you hearing me? Sometimes you have to learn how to run from some situation. Paul told Timothy, flee There's another time the word flee is used. I'm sure you all remember the other word flee in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Receive the devil and the devil will flee. But do you know that Paul said to Timothy, flee, you fool lad. Run from them. Don't associate with all these things. Run. If you're a man of God, a woman of God, if you have a vision in your life, you have a goal of God in your life, you have to learn to run at times. Run from wrong association, run from the wrong things. He ran. And Potiphar's wife was left, Mrs. Potiphar was left with Joseph's garment. Straight away she screamed, help, help, help. She was quite good at acting apparently. She must have been quite a good actor. Say, help, help, help. And everyone said, what happened, what happened? Joseph, Joseph. Oh, she must have been such an excellent actor that she got everybody convinced. When Potiphar came and all the rest came, no, you see, he was such a good actor, crying away, ooh, waving the coat of Joseph. Look at this, so good at all her acting that Joseph was convicted and imprisoned because of her testimony. She said that Joseph had attempted against her. Joseph was imprisoned for something he did not do. From a chief slave, he became prisoner number one. What happened to the dream and vision? Here he was entering the prison. Many years have passed by now. In the prison, in fact, the time, from the time that Joseph was sold as a slave, until the time that he met the butler and the baker was 11 years. 11 long years. Anyway, here he was in prison. Start from scratch again. What happened to the dream? His dream was not fulfilled. His vision was not fulfilled. Landed in prison. For something he did not do. Injustice was done. Let me tell you, you and I are never supposed to try to justify ourselves. If you will let God be the justifier, and the just shall live by faith in God, the justifier, God will always be with you. God will always be with you. He has never failed. That the humble shall be exalted, the exalted shall be humble. In prison, this time not only a slave, worse than a slave, a convicted criminal. Do you know what his crime was? Do you know his crime was very shameful? That it will cause all the others to blush at a crime he was convicted of? And he was pronounced guilty. How do you like that? I mean, got nowhere to hide his face. Especially us Orientals. We always want the safe face. Safe face. Safe face. In case our face get lost. Joseph lost his face. He was convicted as a criminal, imprisoned as a criminal, branded as a criminal for something he did not do. That tells me something. Joseph must have kept quiet. Do you hear me? Joseph must have kept quiet. Potiphar's wife could testify, so could have Joseph. He has now start to learn to keep his mouth. You can see his character changing. Amen. His character is now changing. And in the prison, slowly he was promoted to prisoner number one. He could enter prisoner number 666. But the jailer was so happy with Joseph. Joseph must have done a good job. He was slowly promoted, until he's the one who takes care of the prison. Now here is a scripture that I'd like to read to you. Turn with me to Genesis. Chapter 39 verse 4. Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. When he was in Potiphar's wife, he was his right hand man. Everything that was done, he was the doer of it. Then you turn to chapter 39, verse 21 and 22. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. I like that. Whatever they did in prison, he was the doer. He's in control, man. The Americans love to say, he's in control. In the prison, the keeper, all he has to do is just say, find out from Joseph what goes on. Joseph knows everything. Everything in the prison, and it must have been a large prison, the inmate organization. He needs to take care of the prisoners, etc. And Joseph did all these menial tasks, taking care of the prisoners. And all the time, the dream remained unfulfilled. But he has learned a few things. Keep his gap shut. The second thing he has learned is he has slowly learned to relate with people. Do you realize that? From the time that you see how he found favor with Potiphar, from the time how he found favor now with the keeper, he has an interest in the lives of people. He took care of prisoners now. And one fine day, the baker and the butler from Pharaoh's palace was thrown into prison. You and I know the story, but it is important not only to know the story, but to know how that story can be used of God. How that Joseph found the chance to operate his gift. Do you know if God has called you, whether to a fivefold ministry, or God has placed gifts in your life, that you must learn to love people? I mean, the whole ministry is people. The commodity we deal with in God's business is life. You have to have an inherent love for people. And if you think that the stock market is very uneasy, it's harder still to deal with people's lives. Amen? People's lives are at stake. And this is a quality I want you to take note of Joseph. He has changed to the extent where before he bring evil report to his brothers, now he seems to have an inherent love for each person. He must have taken very good care of the prisoners there. Taken care of everything for him to get promoted. So here is an incident from his life, just an incident that could show you what his attitude in life is. In chapter 40, verse 3, the Pharaoh put the baker and the butler in prison. In the prison, the place where Joseph was confined, in verse 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. So he constantly took care of them. He learned to serve. The way up is the way to serve. You know why Joseph got so much promotion? Because he served. He who desires to be greatest among you must serve. He served as a slave. He was promoted to Potiphar's household. He served as a prisoner. Here he is. He's still serving. And as he was serving them in verse 3 and verse 5, the butler and the baker dream a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night. So that night both of them had a dream. And verse 6, Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw, not the word, and saw that they were sad. Look at Joseph now. He was a blabbermouth. Now he learned to keep his gap shut. And Joseph, who did not learn how to relate to his brothers, Joseph who did not know how to relate properly in his own household. Look at the Joseph now. He is concerned whether someone is sad, maybe, or whether someone is angry. How did he develop his character? Through all those times. He did not straight away, you know, put up a signboard and pass out cards in prison, and a sign and a card said, interpreter of dreams, available 24 hours. He did not advertise his ministry, did not advertise his gift. What did he go about doing? Loving people. Hallelujah. If you have a gift of God, if you have a call of God on your life, whether God calls you to be a prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, don't go around advertising, just go around loving. Loving everybody, loving people. If you have the gift of God on your life, the gift of the Holy Spirit work in your life, don't go around promoting your gift, go around loving people. Go and cheer up those who are sad. Go and encourage those who are discouraged. Go and help those who are downtrodden. Go and give a word of refreshment to those who are depressed. Just go and cheer people up. Go and encourage them, be an encourager. And then the gifts will have opportunity to operate. So Joseph, this is his attitude now. Remember, he got his brothers angry. Now he pays attention to human needs. As he was taking care of them, the next morning probably he was bringing breakfast to them. As he was bringing breakfast to them, he saw that they were sad. Most people would just quickly go away, leave them in their sorrow. Right? You wouldn't want to disturb a sad man. There they were sad, brooding, you know, don't know what to do after that funny dream. Nobody could interpret their dream. But they were sad, long faces. It must have been long enough for him to notice it. They were really sad when they were sad. Now they were sadder still. Papaya has gone longer. So the baker is there sitting with a papaya face, talking to the watermelon face or the butler. Both of them long, long faces. And Joseph go in. He did not just serve food. Now remember, he was not responsible to cheer them up. Right? He went the second mile. He was just to serve the food, that's all. He could hear, here's the food, excuse me, bye. He went the second mile. He did not serve the food, he served the food with grace. He don't just do it, he do it wonderfully. So you don't just do something for the Lord, you do it with cheer. You do it with great grace. Do it as unto the Lord. So he did not just intend to do his duty. Away with just doing for duty. There's more than doing for duty. He went further and asked, why are you sad? It takes something out of a person to ask a stranger. Especially a stranger you just met a few days. And of all places met in prison. Some of you, when you look around at people who need to be cheered, I mean, even though we may have known each other for years, we may not come and ask, how are you? Why are you down? It takes something extra out of you. When he asked that question, they told him the dream, and then he just got a chance to operate. Amen. See, the opportunity to operate the gift of God in his life, the call of God in his life, depends on his love to people. on his love to people. And I have known men of God who has closed doors. Not God closed doors. They closed doors for themselves. Because they only concentrate on perfecting the gifts, not perfecting the relationships with people. I do not say that you compromise. You don't compromise at all. But we have to continue to love people. Continue to love people. Love people. And then the gifts of God will have a chance to operate. And here's the gift of God that operates. That when they told the dream, he told them the interpretation. Joseph, in all his years, 11 years, it's not about 11 years. By the time he met them, 11 years had passed from the time he was 17. 11 years had passed by. In these 11 years, he was not sitting idle. He had learned something about dreams. Isn't it interesting to see that he is now an interpreter of dreams? Where did he get that from? Where did he learn? Which school did he go to? Which theological college, seminary, Bible college did he go to? Which university did he come from? How did he learn to interpret dreams? From the school of Hard Knocks? From the school of the Holy Spirit? Here's the point we want to bring up. He never forgot his dream. That is why he focused on what God has given him, and he's such an expert at interpreting dreams in 11 years' time because the seed of dreams was in his life. See, you would be good at what you focus on. I'm sure in this 11 years, he must have thought over and over and over again and prayed to God for the interpretation of his dream. You would if you go through what he went through. Soul as a slave, in prison as a criminal. And here were his dreams that God showed him. He must have come to God and said, God, what about those dreams? What about those visions that you have shown me? What about your call in my life? And God would answer, not only showing him the interpretation of his dreams, but God would also give him a permanent ability to interpret dreams. In those 11 years, here he comes to interpret dreams. He interpreted the dream to the butler and to the baker. You read those dreams very carefully, they're not that easy to interpret. You could have concocted about 20, 30, 40 other interpretations. But he spoke accurately about 3 days' time. How the baker will be hanged, the butler will be restored. Then he added this. He told the butler, when you are restored, remember me. Remember me, please. The butler was promoted in 3 days' time, but he forgot Joseph. He forgot Joseph for 2 years. In fact, he might not remember Joseph anymore. Until one day, in chapter 41, here we are, chapter 41, verse 1, Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream, and in his dream, he dreamt about the 7 fat cows and then the 17 cows. The 7 fat sheaves of grain and the 17 sheaves of grain. He had 2 dreams. Pharaoh asked all his astrologers, his magicians and his wise men to interpret the dream. Remember, Pharaoh consulted his whole setup and organization. And with all his organization and set up, there was not a single one who could interpret the dream. Then, 2 years later, you will find the word in chapter 41, that it was 2 years later. Verse 1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 years later, the butler remembered. When everyone could not do it, the butler said, there is a prisoner called Joseph who interpret my dream. One seed, one operation of a gift in one man's life, was the key to his future. What would have happened if Joseph was ignorant or non-attentive to that occasion in prison? Do you know how significant it is? If Joseph did not contact the butler, he would have remained a prisoner for life. Secondly, if Joseph had not interpreted his dream, he would not leave an impression on the butler that would be so great that the butler would convey his testimony to the Pharaoh about Joseph. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't ignore ministering to 1%. Don't ignore ministering in small ways. Because every one of them is important. The operation of the gifts of God in your life, it's not just for crowds. You must have an inherent love for people. We have to obey the Lord in all ways. In this trip that we went to Australia, the Lord did not ask me to preach anywhere, so I refrained from preaching anywhere, although there were doors open. But the Lord told me concentrate on a few individuals. See, sometimes the Lord can send you like Philip. You can stir the whole town out, then the Holy Spirit can say, now you go and preach to one. And he went to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Don't despise the day of small things. Small things that God asks you to do. That one thing you do could be the seed to your future. You're sowing seeds in another person's life. Good seeds. And Pharaoh had a dream. The butler remembered and said, there is a Hebrew slave. He brought Joseph out, changed him, washed him, and they clothed him in his new garment. And Joseph, in the Bible, in chapter 41 of Genesis, by the time he stood right where his dream was to be fulfilled, the dream that he has dreamt when he was 17, here he is in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood with Pharaoh. That means 13 years have passed. That's how I got the 11. See, he was 17 in Genesis 37. Here he is in chapter 41 here. He is 30. So you have 13 years in between. You minus 2 years when he met the butler in prison. You have 11 years from the time he was sold until the time he met the butler. 13 years have passed. Here he stands when he was 30 years old. The fulfillment of his dreams has come. And remember this, when he stood with Pharaoh, it was an important occasion. Look at it, he has to shave, he has to wash, he has to clothe himself before he came to Pharaoh. Here was an open door for his ministry. Here was an open door for his charismatic gifts to operate. Here was an open door. If God called him, God must be with him and prove him in his life. And if God is with him, the gift must operate, because now demands are being made upon his gift. If those 13 years he had not perfected the interpretation of dreams and he stood there, he would have been finished. Pharaoh would ask him, Joseph, could you please explain my dream about the 7 fat cows and the 17 cows? And Joseph would say, Could you explain about the 7 fat sheaves of grain and the 17 sheaves of grain? And he would say, I don't know. But he has spent his time with God perfecting the gifts that he has. And the only way you can perfect gifts is in small groups, let me tell you. In small ways that you're perfecting the gifts of God in your life. As you're faithful in God, you know the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And here he is. God has molded him. God has made him. He stands before Pharaoh at the peak, or rather the beginning of his dream being fulfilled. He has only one chance to operate. If he fails, he's finished. Back to prison. Prisoner number one. But when Pharaoh told him that, he did three things. Number one, he acknowledged that the gift did not belong to him. He is just a vessel, it belongs to God. He said only God can do that. Number two, he had learned to operate the gifts of God, and when demands were made on it, he had learned to yield himself in such a way that he could interpret the dream. He would be in trouble if he did not know how to do that. And number three, he not only interpreted the dream, he gave advice what to do. You know, interpret the dream not good enough. You see, he interpreted the dream. The dream was this way. He said, seven fat cows and the seven fat sheaves of grain are the same thing. 7 years of plenty. 17 cows, 17 grains are 7 years of famine. Simple, right? He will say, this is what it means. Good night. God bless you. Show is over. Bye. Back to prisoner number one. Do you know that there was more to that? He always go the second mile. He didn't just interpret the dream and say, God bless you, good night, bye, God bless you. After he interpreted the dream, you watch what he did. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 33. Verse 32, the interpretation was over. In verse 32, the interpretation is already over. Now in verse 33, is his experience and wisdom coming in. In 13 years, he has developed great wisdom. He has developed wisdom in his life. He did not just develop the gifts, he developed wisdom. How did he do it? God was working in his life even though he did not see God. And here is his wisdom. In chapter 41 verse 33, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man. He was not thinking of himself, he was thinking of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this. Let him put officers over the land, collect one fee for the produce. In the 7 plentiful years, let them gather all the food of the good years for the famine that is to come. Then let the food be reserved for the land of seven years of famine. Verse 37, notice, so the advice. It did not say the interpretation of dream, it said the advice. Joseph was now an advisor. He was not just an interpreter of dreams. The third thing he did was that he gave advice what to do. He went the second mile. Always flow with the Spirit of God. Don't just stop. Don't just stop right to the point. Flow with the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do. After he interpreted the dream, he took opportunity and gave advice. Do you know it was his advice that made him stay there permanently? Not just his gift, his advice. And Pharaoh looked at him and said, who can we find but Joseph? Remember, he has consulted all his other wise men. Said, who could we find but Joseph? And he said, let Joseph be the one to do all these things. And when he was in that position, it was the beginning of the vision coming true. Some years later, his brothers came and bowed down to him. And then later on, his father, mother, and whole family came. Maybe his father, not his mother. His mother has died. His father, his whole family, the whole clan came to him. His dream got fulfilled. So we see how he has gone to that amount. Where did Joseph get the wisdom? Here is the point that it's very hard for us to comprehend. That I pray that it may help and encourage you. Remember that when he was sat in Pharaoh's house and he became the right-hand man of Pharaoh, right-hand man, everything that was done, he was a doer of it. Everything. In fact, Pharaoh just gave him all authority for all action to be done in Egypt. And he had a lot of administrative things to do. Here's the wonderful thing about God, the wonderful thing about His love. In God's plan for our life, He has included, a way of working with you, your life, and a way of working through your life with all your weaknesses, with all your flaws. It's amazing. Now we look back at the 13 years of Joseph and we can see the grace of God. But when he was in Potiphar's house serving as a slave, it was hard toil and work. And God knew what he was doing. He was training Joseph. Notice how God trained him. God trained him in Potiphar's house, just in charge of one household, to learn all the problems, the administration involved, the distribution involved in one house. Then somehow when he was in prison, God began to train him how to administrate a whole prison. Finally, he was taken to the stage where he administrated a whole nation. Somehow, in God's plan for Joseph's life, he had incorporated all those things into consideration. What a mighty God we have. What a great Father, all-knowing we have, who in His plan for our lives has included and incorporated how to work through our weaknesses. It's amazing. That is how omniscient or all-knowing our God is. Every weakness in your life, if you were Joseph and you were in Potiphar's house, you wouldn't have realized that God was going to use all your training there. Many times when you don't feel God's presence and God being with you in your hard work, in your toil, in your sweat, in your daily life, when you don't feel that He's working something out, the dream and the vision is being fulfilled. I don't care how you look at your life, but I want you to look at your life the way God looks at it this morning. You may feel that you are not a part of God's plan, that you are failing Him in many ways, but I want you to know that God, our Father, is so big that He incorporated your weaknesses in His plan. I don't care what your weaknesses are. I don't care what kind of character flaws you have. I don't care what kind of sin you keep falling into but keep turning back to the Father. I don't care how you look at yourself and feel inferior that God could use you. Our Father, look at Him. Take a look at our Father, His grace and His love. That even in spite of all your weaknesses, all Joseph's failures, all the evil men do to him, all those things that he has failed God in, God used every bit of it and turn it for good. And turn it as part of His dream. Perhaps you have never known how great and how big our Father in heaven is. He is not a man who sees a part at a time. He knows the future from beginning to the end. He knows every evil thought that you will have in your life. He knows every evil tendency in your life. He knows every weakness of the flesh in your life. He knows every flaw in your character in your life. And somehow, He incorporates it all in His master plan for your life. You are where God wants you to be right now. Stop struggling. Stop trying. Start resting. You are where God wants you to be right now. Let's stand to our feet. I'd like you to sing the song, The Love of God. How recent you are. Ever reaching out to us today, the love of God. The love of God is greater far than pen or tongue can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to is working out His will. The seed of God in your life, the vision of God in your life is right now operating, even though you don't see it, you don't feel it. It is right now working. Right now it's operating in your life. The vision is being planned, the vision is being prepared in your life. That is God spoke to you in vision, that is God spoke to you in dream, that is God spoke to you in prophecy. The plan that He has in your life is right now being fulfilled. Right now, He has incorporated everything that you ever experienced into that plan. As you put all your heart, mind, desires upon Him, He's incorporated all those things into His plan for your life. For your life. For your life right now. Wherever you are, wherever you are, just rest in Him and worship Him, and worship Him, and worship Him, worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Lift up your voice to God. Yes. Give Him worship in all that He's doing in your life. You could be like Joseph going through trials, tribulations. Maybe you're going through things that you should not have gone through. Whatever it is, God is bigger than man. God is bigger than your situation, is bigger than your trials. Is bigger than your mind can understand Him. God is bigger. So great, so big is Almighty God. Have Thine own way, Lord. your own way, my Father. You are the potter. I am the clay. There's some of you here. They have felt that you were not in God's plan. Very, very extremely disappointed with yourself. God is bigger than your problem and your failure. Some of you have felt, I have fallen. Can I be restored? You can. You can. He's bigger than your fall. He's bigger than your mistake. Turn to our loving Father, who will always stretch his hand towards you and say, welcome my children, welcome, welcome into my presence, to be where I want you to be, resting in his love. Oh, have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. If you have a need of healing in your body, God is bigger than your need. If you have a need of finances, He's bigger than your financial need. If you have an emotional need in your life, it's bigger than your emotion. Mold me and make me after Thy struggling. The Lord says, my child, I know you have been struggling. I know you are trying to please me. If only you would see my love for you. You don't have to try to please me, for I am pleased with you through my Son. And my love is an everlasting love. I ask only that you rest in the arms of my love and allow my spirit to rest upon you. That you be still and know that I am God in your life. Cease from your struggles. Cease from all your cares and your pains and your problems. Cease from all your self-crucifixion. Cease from all things and just know that I am the Lord God, your mighty, almighty, powerful God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He who is, who was and who is to come, the God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth. I am your Father, says God. And I love you more than you would ever know or understand. Just rest in my love. For the best that you can be in me is just to receive what I have for you and rest in my love. Have thine own way. Spirit of God, we yield our whole being to you. Glorify your Son Jesus through our lives. Mold us, make us after the image of your very Son. Spirit of God is moving all over this place. Oh, yes. Just allow the Spirit of God to do all that He wants to do. We worship and we thank You, Lord. There is a person here who has gone to a doctor, and the doctor has told you that he has suffered from some arteriosclerosis of your spine. The problem in your spinal cord, in your back, the doctor has said that there's nothing that they can do about it. But you know that God is a God of miracles. He's bigger than your problem. I want that person to come right to the front. Jesus wants to heal you. There's another young man in a flowery shirt, and you have problems in sleeping. You have bad dreams that haunt you, and you have a personal problem that I'll not mention, but he has tormented your life. I want you to come forward to the front. Jesus wants to heal you and touch you. We worship You. We glorify You, Lord, for Your love. The love of God is upon you and upon your life. The Spirit of God is so strong here. We worship You, Lord. There is a sister